Welcome to another edition of Ultimate Key to Freedom. With my new label now, as you've heard me say the last few weeks, I guess, Ultimate Key to Freedom, questions, answers, comments, and whatever. Okay, here we go. The first one that came in for this week, and by the way, if you were waiting for an answer to your question a little longer than normal, please accept my apologies. I did warn you, so to speak, because I was in Germany and running. But I'm back, and I'm back home, and I'm back on my normal schedule, so thanks for your patience. This first question is from Linda. Linda has watched all the videos in Ultimate Key to Freedom. After watching all the videos, my character Linda is sensing a feeling of depression, and here's the mind machine saying, what's the point of doing anything, since my character doesn't have any say in what happens to her? Why bother with goals? Why bother with trying to lose weight or eating healthy if it doesn't matter? My character doesn't feel like doing anything. In my story before Ultimate Key to Freedom, I was excited about finishing a book I was writing, speaking and putting on workshops related to it. Robert, how do you know what your character is supposed to do in your story? Please provide some guidance as to how you approach each day and how do you decide, quote-unquote, what to do in your work, etc. Is it intuition, a message, or voice telling your character what's next? Thanks for your answer. Okay, Linda, first of all, I'm going to answer your question, and I have addressed this issue numerous times before in the archives. So what I would also invite you to do, because I say the same thing sometimes, and I say different things in different ways or different contexts, is there is now on the download page for these audios up at the top, there's a master index of all of the audios and what's on them. And I would invite you and anyone else listening who's interested to scan that master index and look for the other audios where I talked about this issue, because I think you'll find it very supportive. And to whatever degree there's repetition, since this is a challenge, it'll be supportive. Okay. There's a lot of things I want to share. I'm not going in any particular order. It's just going to come out as it comes out. So the first thing I want to push on here, Linda, is that you say sensing a feeling of depression. So the first opportunity here is to take a look at that and to say, okay, I'm using words, I'm speaking as if I was you, that the words are sensing a feeling of depression. So let's put the words on a shelf. And let's say what's appearing in inner space that those words are trying to describe, because that's the truth. There's something appearing in inner space, and those words, sensing a feeling of depression, are words that are attempting to describe it. So the first opportunity for you is to take a look, bear with the language, at what's actually appearing. What it is a movement of energy that's got certain unique characteristics. And my bias, it can be different for other people or slightly different, or there can be uniqueness to it. But to my bias, the movement of energy in inner space that is generally described as depression is a movement of energy that appears to move rather slow, and it seems to feel heavy. It seems to have a magnetic kind of a pull almost that seems to be pulling you literally downward. It's something like that. So the opportunity is, next time, if it happens, after listening to this, that you hear words like that describing what's going on, look at what's actually going on. And what you will see is there is this movement of energy with unique characteristics that may be what I just described or similar, maybe different for you. And then that's being observed, and there's a buzzword by the mind machine and saying depression. And underneath that is bad. I don't like how this feels, and I want to get the hell out of it. So the opportunity is to look at what's actually appearing, and there's also the opportunity to see that there's a pure, raw experience of a movement of energy that's appearing, and then there's a story, depression, bad. And those are being fused together in the way that you know. When you look at that, and you can see that it isn't depression, and it isn't bad, it's just a unique movement of energy, that's the first opportunity for this, I'll just call it, don't take this too literally, to move and to get into a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with it, which to use old language. It isn't true. But since you're still desiring this, I feel okay using this language will provide a certain amount of relief just to use that language by simply seeing I'm not depressed. Linda's not depressed. There's simply a movement of energy in inner space with a story that's fused to it that says depression bad. Okay, the next piece, mind machine saying, what's the point of doing anything since my character doesn't have any say? Again, the opportunity here is to look at what's going on here. And what it is, you're saying, the mind machine saying, what's the point of doing anything since I don't have a say, blah, blah, blah. I don't say blah, blah, blah to minimize or, poo-poo or whatever what you're saying. Just I don't need to read the whole thing. So over again. The other opportunity here, again, is to see same kind of a thing. What's actually happening? Is there a voice that's appearing that's talking to you? Maybe it's your voice, Linda, the same or similar to the voice that you speak with that I'd hear if I was talking to you. Is it another voice, whatever, that's saying, hey, what's the point of doing anything? Or maybe it's a character that says, since I don't have any say, why bother? Blah, blah, blah. To understand, it's just a voice talking or whatever else it might be. When you look at what's actually appearing, again, there's an opportunity to be in a truthful with a capital T relationship to what's going on. And that provides a certain degree of relief. Again, I'm using distorted, inaccurate language here just to make a point. So what's actually going on? Is it a voice, again, yours or a different voice? What is it actually saying? And then the opportunity here, and this gets tricky, bear with the language. Language doesn't serve here. If there's a voice talking that's saying, what's the point of doing anything or whatever else you discover, the truth is something, someone, whatever, however you want to language it, is hearing that voice, is aware of that voice appearing in inner space. That's the total immersion reader. That's who you really are. That's true creative essence experiencing your story, who is aware of this voice in inner space that's speaking. And the truth is, and I know it's tricky, and I know it's hypnotic, and I know it's mesmerizing, and I know it seems to be different, but the reality is that voice saying, what's the point of doing anything, and the other things that you discover that it's saying, which you've narrated here, is no different than if you were reading a novel, and on page 256, what you read was, let's imagine that the hero of the story is a woman named Linda. You're reading this novel or watching a movie or watching a television episode. But let's just use the example of a novel. At the bottom of page 256, what you read is, Linda was aware of the fact that this thought kept playing over and over and over and over in her head. What's the point of doing anything? Since I don't have any say, why bother with this? Why bother with that? It's no different. It's another character, if you're reading a novel, that is saying, what's the point? It's another character in a TV show or a movie that's saying the same exact things that are appearing in inner space, and your relationship to it is identical. When you're the reader of a novel, and the character in the novel is saying, what's the point of doing anything? You're not that character. You're aware of that character having this struggle and saying that to themselves in their mind or out loud. The relationship is exactly the same. I know it doesn't seem like it, but it is. So that's the second thing I want to say. Take a look what's actually happening. Tell the truth about it, which you pretty much did. You said, here's the mind machine saying. So when you say, here's the mind machine saying, what you're saying is, I, true creative essence, the total immersion reader of the Linda story, is aware of a voice appearing. It may not be a voice, you didn't get that specific, but is aware of, but my guess is it's a voice. It may have some other things associated with it, but it's a voice that's saying, what's the point? Why bother with anything? So the opportunity, again, is to see what's really going on, to get into a truthful relationship with it, and when you do, things change. And when you actually see, with a capital S, that it's the relationship to this appearance, the depression one and what's the point voices, thoughts, is no different than the relationship you have to a character saying and feeling the same thing in a novel, in a movie, in a TV show. The next thing I want to say, and this is something that you will hear if you go back through the archives, is this is always a blip. This is always a way station. This is always a temporary situation that never lasts. I can't predict how long it will last. For some characters, it lasts a relatively short time and then it disappears. For other characters, it comes and it stays for a while and then it disappears and then it comes back. And it can take varying amounts of time before it disappears permanently. But it's an output, it's a symptom, whatever word you want to use, none of them are perfect. It's a byproduct of what I call destabilization of the mind machine, which I've talked about in recent weeks in other questions and answers. The mind machine has been seriously messed with. There's new data, there's new algorithms, there's new programs, there's a lot of new stuff about Linda's life and how it's perceived and what's really going on. And the mind machine is still trying to answer the questions, but it's in a destabilized state. So it has new data that says, I don't have any say. I'm not driving the bus. I'm a character in a story, and the writer is true creative essence, powerless, all this kind of stuff. And so it's buzzing and worrying, and it's coming up with inaccurate, distorted conclusions, which again don't last, based on trying to answer the questions with this new data. But it's just a stage, it's just a step, it's just a blip, it's just a way station. It ultimately passes. And the opportunity, whenever it's up, is what I've shared, is to the best of your ability, bear with that language. There isn't any Linda that can have an ability or not, but it seems that way. So, is to the best of your ability, I'm going to use that flawed language, watch what's actually happening. And see what's actually happening, the pure raw experience and the story. The pure raw experience of sensing a feeling of depression is a movement of energy with unique characteristics. It's not depression. It's not bad. It doesn't feel bad except in a story. So the opportunity is to see that that's the truth. Not as a theory, not as an idea, not as what I call an enlightened overlay, but to see that that's really what, in fact, is going on. That's what's appearing in inner space. And then it's being observed in lightning fast, generally, although it may slow down or stutter or whatever after you listen to this. Then a story gets attached. Oh, the mind machine says, oh, I know what that one is. If it is like what I said, when it's slow and it feels heavy, that's depression and that's bad, or whatever your unique characteristics are. And get me the hell out of it. And then all of these things that are appearing, why bother, why this, why that, if it doesn't matter. My character doesn't feel like doing anything. Again, I've been there. I haven't personally been why bother with anything. But I have, on my journey, I didn't feel like doing anything. But it wasn't what's the point. It was just I didn't feel like doing anything. But again, the opportunity is to see this is just mind machine noise as it is attempting to answer the three questions in an unstable state because of the truth virus doing its work but not completing it, the mind machine not being able to buzz and whir and kick out the same old stuff that it has most likely for decades before you came to these teachings, and it will pass. Now, and again, it's a massive distortion. Except for this blip, except for this destabilization stage of the mind machine as the truth virus does its work, the kinds of things that you say are an issue that you're struggling with, which I get that they seem like they're an issue and they seem to be a big problem, you know, they're not, but I know that as it's being perceived, the story is this is a big problem. But it's not. And so I'll get into now the other kind of things that you talked about. Robert, how do you know what your character is supposed to do in your story? There's a distortion here, Linda, and I understand it, because what's here is there's the language of my character, Linda, is this and that. And there's the implication, which is what's taught in Ultimate Freedom, what's shown with a capital S in Ultimate Freedom, that you are true creative essence, total immersion, reading the Linda story. You're not Linda. There isn't a Linda, except unique appearances in inner space and story space that are fused together with a story. But when you say, how do you know what your character is supposed to do in your story? Well, Linda, how does a character in a novel know what they're supposed to do in the story? I'm pausing here just to give you an opportunity to see. The character doesn't decide what they're going to do in a story. The author does. No matter what it looks like, no matter whether a character is, oh God, I don't know what to do. Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Should I quit? Should I not quit? Should I get married to this person? Should I not? Should I get divorced? Should I not? Should I this or that? If you're reading that on the pages of a novel, a character's not really making a decision. A character's not really deciding anything. A character isn't really trying to figure out what to do. The character does what the character does, and you turn the pages and you become aware of what the character does. The author wrote the story, and whatever the character does in a novel or a movie or a TV show is what was written. And so, again, the novel's always the best metaphor because the mind machine can play around with movies and TV shows and can say, well, there's an actor and the actor's an individual and the actor has a script and the actor knows what they as an individual is supposed to do because it's in the script, but they could read it, they could say the line exactly in the script or not, they can improvise, blah, blah, blah. With a novel, that isn't possible. With a novel, characters can only say and do and think and feel and make decisions and whatever else it is if the author wrote it first. That's just the truth. My bias is it's the same thing. So how do I know what my character is supposed to do in the story? Whatever Robert does is what Robert was supposed to do in the story. So if Robert, using your example here, is writing a book, then that's what Robert was supposed to do. I just got back from Germany where I did two speaking engagements. Robert was supposed to do that because that's what happened. That's what total true creative essence, the total immersion reader of the Robert story, total immersion read in the 10 days that I was in Germany and everything else that I did. So the answer to the question is what you're supposed to do is what you do. But there isn't a Linda except in a story, except in an illusory combination of elements and inner space that's got to figure it out, that's got to make decisions, that's got to pick from option A, B, and C and make a decision about what to do. That's the phase one cloud cover dynamic. You are the total immersion reader of your story. You are true creative essence, total immersion reading your story. And as each second passes, it's the same thing, literally, you know? As you reading more and more words on a page, going down the page and then turning the page to the next page and going down every line and reading all of the words and being immersed in a story. It's the same exact thing. So again, whatever Linda's supposed to do is going to be what Linda does. And if what appears is dialogue, you know, thinking, thoughts, characters, and inner space saying, well, what's the point in this case? You know, why bother? I don't feel motivated to do anything anymore. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I continue writing this book? Should I continue to do workshops? You know, if that happens, okay, what the character is supposed to do is wonder about that, is supposed to struggle with that, is supposed to be confused about that, whatever. And then Linda will do something else. You'll finish the book. You won't finish the book. You'll speak and put on workshops or you won't. They'll be the way you thought they were going to be before. They'll be different. It's the same thing as if you were reading a novel. And on page 256, I don't have absolutely no idea why I choose page 256 so much. It's kind of a joke at this point that I picked the same page number. But if you were reading a novel and on page 256, Linda was thinking to herself, shit, I don't know what to do anymore. Should I finish this book? Should I not? Should I continue doing workshops? Should I not? I don't feel motivated to do anything anymore. And you're reading this and it's the bottom of page 256. What's going to happen as you, the reader, are reading that story? It may be conscious. It may not. It may be partially conscious. It may not. It's usually in the background and you're not consciously aware of it. But what's going on is, wow, I wonder what Linda's going to do. Turn the page. You read some more. Linda continues to struggle. Linda this, Linda that. And what appears as the, for you as the reader of that story is, wow, I wonder what's going to happen with Linda. How's she going to get through this stage of not feeling like doing anything? Is she going to finish her book? Is she going to this? Is she going to that? When there's a great story unfolding, that's what's going on. We're bonded to the character. We experience things as them. And we're very curious to see what's going to happen to them, particularly if they're in a difficult situation, they're getting resistance, there's obstacles, they're struggling with something. We really want to know, how's the character going to resolve this? How are they going to overcome the challenges? How are they going to jump the hurdles? What's going to happen? And that's what's going to happen with you too. You said, please provide some guidance as to how you approach each day and how you decide what to do. Again, I don't. There isn't a Robert. There never was. It isn't that this changes. I don't approach each day. I'm the total immersion reader. I'm true creative essence, total immersion reading the Robert Sheinfeld story. Decisions get made, and as the reader, I'm aware of them. Just like in novels, movies, and TV shows, characters make decisions, and you become aware of them as you're turning the pages, if it's a novel, as the minutes are unfolding on the screen, if you're watching a movie or a television show. It happens. It's not intuition. It's not a message. It's not a voice telling me what's next. In general, it could be. In the Robert story, very often things like that do occur in inner space as a thought. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes I just am aware as the total immersion reader of Robert doing da-da-da-da. Right now, as an example, I'm in the process of redoing my website and making a bunch of changes. And so I'm aware as the total immersion reader, as the pages are being turned in the Robert story, and I'm total immersion reading them, that da-da-da-da is going on with what's going to be on the main page and what's going to be on this page and how's it going to look and what colors and what, all these things are just happening. No different than if I was reading about them in a novel, watching a character building a website in a TV show or a movie. No different. The relationship to it is no different. The distortion here is that there's still a lot of data, programming, and algorithms, and the mind machine says Linda's real, and Linda's a real individual, and Linda's driving the bus, and Linda has to make decisions, and Linda has to this, and Linda has to that, and just like it was in phase one and in phase two, the mind machine is buzzing and worrying and trying to decide, what are the questions? What is this? What does it mean? How should I respond? And how should I respond means, what should I do? And so if you look, you can actually see that these three questions that drive the mind machine are being endlessly run right now about what's going on. There's a book in your life. There's the possibility of workshops in your life. There's this or that. There's the desire to eat healthy and whatever it is to lose weight, stay slim, whatever. The mind machine is observing all of that. It's buzzing and worrying, and in its destabilized state, it's kicking this stuff out at the moment. So there isn't a Robert individual that somehow needs to be told what to do. Does Harry Potter need to be told what to do by J.K. Rowling? No. J.K. Rowling shapes herself into the Harry character, saying, doing, feeling, thinking, whatever, whatever he does that you're reading on the page. And it's the same exact thing. True creative essence, the writer, is writing the Linda character to think, feel, say, do, whatever, as the story is unfolding, and what happens in the story, just like with a novel, movie, or TV show, will be revealed as the pages, minutes continue to be, the pages get turned, the minutes pass, the story unfolds, you'll see. But the distortion here is the old mind machine dynamics of Linda's real, Linda's driving the bus, Linda has free will, Linda has decision-making authority. Therefore, she needs a strategy. She needs advice. She needs guidance. She needs a rule or a formula for when this happens, I should do that. When that happens, I should do this. These kinds of things. And so the mind machine is still looking for that, even though the whole ballgame has changed. But the reality is, again, it's exactly the same thing. Truth with a capital T, be told about the Linda story, as what's happening when you're reading a novel, watching a movie, watching a television show. But again, the movie is the novel, excuse me, is the best example. And although it may seem like it in the beginning, this is not a technique. This is not a tool. This is not look at yourself as if you were a character in a novel. That is what's going on. That's the truth. That's what's really going on. You are true creative essence, total immersion, reading the Linda story. And your relationship, to repeat myself again, which, as you know, I have a habit of doing, your relationship to Linda and everything that the Linda character thinks, feels, says, does, wonders about, struggles with, whatever else, is exactly the same as your relationship, except it's a total immersion relationship, as I explained, with a character that something's happening to in a novel, something's happening to a character in a movie or a television show. So my invitation to you, Linda, and anyone else listening that may be struggling with the same dynamic would be a couple of things. One, listen to what I just said. Let it sit a couple of days or a week, maybe. Again, what happens, happens. What True Creative Essence writes, writes. But this is what I'm saying. Let it sit for a little bit. Let the ripples in the pond ripple out. And then listen to it again. I would invite you to go through the archives and look for other audios talking about this particular thing. You ought to be able to scan it pretty quickly to find those, listen to those, and then feel free to come back and continue the dialogue. But ultimately, and again, I'm not saying to you or anyone else, don't ask questions. Don't have a dialogue with me about things like this. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just telling the truth about it in what I'm about to say. You cannot think your way to a solution of this. It is not an idea and a concept thing. The only way to ultimately really get through this is to experience with a capital E, the truth with a capital T, of what's really going on, what has always been going on, which I pointed to here in this narrative in multiple ways about pure raw experience and story, total immersion reader, and such. Now, the last piece I want to address here before moving on is you ask the question, what's the point? And my guess is you will recognize what I say here, particularly if you have listened to any of the archives, including recently, of other questions and answers. What's the point? What's the point of reading a novel? What's the point of watching a movie? What's the point of watching a television show? What's the point of playing a sport or watching a sport? What's the point of listening to music? What's the point of blah, blah, blah? We could ask just about anything. The point, and again, this isn't a theory. It's not a philosophy. If you look at what's actually going on, the answer to the question, what's the point of reading a novel? It's to enjoy a good story. So if we dive beneath to enjoy a good story and say, well, what does that mean? It means to have a variety of, let's call it unique, thoughts, feelings, and sensations. As you're aware of inner space dynamics for a character in a story and story space dynamics for a character and all the things that can be experienced as the story is unfolding. That's the only point. That's always the point of everything. And again, it's not a theory or a philosophy. If you say to anybody that loves reading fiction, why do you read fiction? What's the point? You might have to push them a little bit, and ultimately they wouldn't use the same language we do. But what they would come back and say is, because I enjoy a good story. And if you pushed on that, what does it mean? Ultimately, they'd come out and say, I get to be the character. I get to think what they feel what they feel, think what they think, feel what they feel, blah, blah, blah. And I love having that experience. Same thing for rides, watching sports, playing sports, listening to music, dancing, whatever it is. Anytime you ask what's the point of anything that happens in the human story, that's the point. It's to be able to experience, and in the situations when somebody would say that they enjoy something, it's to enjoy the unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations that are part of it, what's picked up by the senses and the body and what's perceived in story space, all of that as an amazing story unfolds. And then the mind machine can buzz and whir and say, okay, I get that. I've addressed this in the archives too, so look for that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it here. The mind machine can buzz and whir and say, okay, I get that, but when I'm reading a novel that I really love, watching a movie I love, doing this, doing that that I love, I'm enjoying it. I'm not enjoying what's happening with Linda right now. So it's different. Well, no, it's not, except the story that's unfolding now is a journey into ultimate freedom, fully awakening, the truth virus doing its work, there being a story that's unfolding with all kinds of opportunities to experience amazing, unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations, and everything else I just talked about as this amazing story of this Linda character in which ultimate freedom is awakening to one degree or another inner story. That's the story. That's what's going on right now. And what's the point is always only to have unique experiences in inner space and in story space. That's the only point to anything. Now, in phase one, there are many overlays. And different answers to that question. What's the point? Well, in some spiritual teachings, the point is Earth is a school, and you have to learn certain lessons, and you have to evolve, and you have to reach enlightenment, and then you can move on and do other things in the universe or whatever else. There are a lot of phase one, I call them, as you know, lies, illusions, and stories about what's the point of the human existence, what's the point of the human experience, whatever. But if you look at what's actually going on, my bias, the truth is, it's to have amazing experiences, unique appearances in inner space and story space and the dance of them together, which create the opportunity for who you really are, true creative essence, to total immersion, read these amazing stories, which have heroes. And in the Linda story, Linda's the hero. In the Robert story, Robert's the hero. Okay, so that's what I feel motivated to share right now. As I said, my invitation is look through the archives for similar discussions. Listen to this more than once, allowing some time in between. And then, of course, I welcome an ongoing dialogue with you, Linda, or anyone else listening. Okay, moving on to the second question. The second question is from Justin, who has completed the entire Ultimate Key to Freedom experience. He has three questions. Here's the first one. In the videos regarding your philosophy about life already being written, and humans not having free will. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Justin, you may have a different definition. If you and I were having a conversation, you might interrupt me, you know, and say, well, I just used that word loosely. I didn't really mean it, you know, whatever. But I just want to shine the light of truth on this. To my bias, and you, Justin, or anyone else listening, if you remember what I said on the first day of the videos in the beginning, the morning of the first day, to my bias, this is not a philosophy. It's not ideas and concepts. It's not a theory. It's what you actually see with a capital S, meaning being in a truthful relationship, as what's really going on if you're able to knock out the cloud cover, peel back the lies, illusions, and stories, however you want to describe it. But it's an experiential thing. It's not a thinking thing. It's not an idea or a concept thing. It's not a philosophy in the way that I define philosophy. As I'm speaking here, I do this sometimes. It can distort things or it can be supportive, but it's interesting. I looked up philosophy in the dictionary, and it says the study of the fundamental nature of knowledge, reality, and existence, especially when considered as an academic discipline. So if you look at that and you say the study of the fundamental nature, what that is a study of ideas and concepts. The next definition here is a particular system of philosophical thought. Well, the word thought, again, means ideas and concepts, the intellectual level of things. It's the study of the theoretical basis of a particular branch of knowledge or experience. Again, this is all pointing to ideas and concepts, thinking, the dance of ideas, thoughts, in inner space. It's not, but that's not what this is to my bias. What ultimate freedom is, what's revealed in the Ultimate Freedom videos and the experience, is the opportunity to experience, with a capital E, truth, with a capital T. And when that happens, there's no need, bear with the language here, for ideas and concepts and theories and speculation and thinking and analysis, because once you really see, with a capital S, what's going on, once you really experience, with a capital E, what's really going on, once you have a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with everything, all these kinds of theoretical, speculative thinking, analysis, dancing with ideas and concepts disappear, because the truth has been experienced, and so there isn't any need to speculate about it anymore, to try to figure it out, or to be entertained by the dance of ideas and concepts parading through inner space. So I just wanted to say that. To me, this is not a philosophy. It's something that was experienced. It's in the Robert story, what's appearing in inner space and story space, there being a truthful, with a capital T, relationship with all of it at an experiential level of what you can actually verify from your own experience. Not, I didn't say on day one, what you can construct a logical argument for, or anything related to thinking, ideas, or concepts, is that you can verify everything that I've said at the experiential level by watching what actually goes on. And again, that's easier said than done at times, I know, But on this journey of knocking out the cloud cover, which is what stops the experience being in a truthful relationship, it happens. That's the opportunity. Okay, continuing with Justin's question. Regarding your philosophy as being quote-unquote shown to me or quote-unquote being given to me, but you never really said by whom or where you got this philosophy that everything is already written. Is this from a specific sage from Buddhist or yoga philosophy, or did it come through your experience with the God drug that John A. told you about? Okay, Justin, what I'm about to say is my bias of what's going on here. In no way, shape, or form do I intend to be disrespectful to you or not honoring of you or appreciating you or making you wrong or being critical. I'm just, through my biased eyes, narrating what I see happening here, which is what happened for the Robert character for so much of his story. This is the mind machine buzzing and worrying and dealing with a variety of things at the pure theoretical idea and concept thinking intellectual level. And I have to tell you, and I, you know, if someone had told me this, which they never did specifically, if they told me this, it wouldn't have made any difference until enough cloud cover had been knocked out and until enough sunshine was shining, which is ultimately what the Justin character in the Justin story, we're going to have to wait to see. You can't just turn this off. You can't just stop it. It's not just a choice, but it's not simply a choice, but there's an over-analysis. There's the analysis of paralysis or whatever that statement is of what's going on here. And you're trying to run this through the mind. And the mind, mind machine cannot resolve this at that level. The only way that these questions can ultimately be answered and resolved is at the experiential level. And then all this mind machine noise disappears. Having said that, as I've said so many times, words don't serve. But as the total immersion reader, for example, let me backtrack here for a minute. If you're reading a novel or watching a movie and a character appears to learn something or a character appears to be changed or a character appears to get some special new knowledge or whatever else it is, somehow it happened. You know, you could be reading a novel and you could be on page 256. And a character could say at the bottom of page 256, suddenly the answer to the question that had been driving me crazy for years just became crystal clear. You read that in the book and you turn the page, and at the top of page 257, you read that the character said, all of a sudden I could see so clearly that da-da-da-da. I just knew it. I knew it beyond words. I knew it beyond ideas and concepts. It just was so clear to me. That's trying to describe an appearance, and it could be a voice talking in inner space. It could be a video. It could be, I now talk about the fact when I do the live Ultimate Key to Freedoms, I talk about the fact that I realized, I think I mentioned this in an earlier Q&A in the last month maybe, that I used to say that in appearing in inner space in what we call thoughts were still photographs, videos, voices, sounds, and words. And I realize that there's another appearance that I now call a thought ball, which isn't any of those, but it's just a knowing of something. It's energy that somehow has information that you're just aware of. But it isn't a picture, it isn't a voice, it isn't a video. There was another category that I hadn't listed. Most people would call that intuition or sixth sense or, you know, whatever, information from their guides or angels or whatever else it is. But so, it could be that, but when I say being shown to me, being given to me, it's just language trying to point to the fact that on this journey, as cloud cover was being knocked out in the Robert story, as more and more sun was shining, as more and more of a truthful with a capital T relationship was being entered into with everything, these things became crystal clear at the experiential level. And when I say was shown to me, was given to me, it's just loose, distorted language that's trying to point to the fact that at the experiential level, the truth of this was experienced in the Robert story, and it could be experienced, could be aware of it, could be total immersion reading, whatever it was. But it's what actually appeared in inner space in the unique Robert story. It did not come from a specific sage or guide or whatever. It didn't come from a Buddhist or yoga philosophy. It didn't come from the God drug. It didn't come from any external, quote-unquote, source in that way. It was something that, again, words don't serve here, that appeared in inner space in the Robert story when there was seeing with a capital S of what was really happening. There was a truthful relationship with what was really going on, and it was observed in inner space appearing those ways in one of those ways, shape, or form. Thought ball, video, voice. In the Robert story, as I've mentioned, there's been a lot of hearing voices talking. But these kinds of things, when I say the truth was shown to me or it was given to me or whatever, what I'm talking about is seeing something. For example, when I talk about pure raw experience and story, it was actually seeing that with a capital S. It was being aware of the fact that in inner space was this pure raw appearance of whatever it was, a thought, a feeling, a sensation in the way that I talked about, and then there's a story about it. It was seeing that there are those two components, and it was seeing, being aware of thought ball, however words don't serve, that there were these two separate things that had been fused together. And there was a seeing of them separate and then combine again and then separate again and then combine again and then both being in inner space but being separate, and then ultimately the stories disappearing in the way that I talked about. So that's what I meant. But all of the stuff that I narrate, all of the stuff that was shared in The Ultimate Key to Freedom, all came from something that actually appeared in the Robert story. Now, in my story, there has never been a lot of study of yoga philosophies, Buddhist philosophies, a lot of those kinds of things. It just wasn't part of my path. I have a very superficial kind of relationship and awareness of what's going on there. My bias from a lot of these ancient teachings and other teachings that are about truth with a capital T is, and this is just my bias, you or anyone else is welcome to agree or not agree. If that's what appears, that's what appears. Mind machines can certainly disagree with anything that I say from the buzz were, is that you can see elements of the truth with a capital T, but then you also see distortion and you also see dead ends. You know, even when they're talking about truthful things, it's something that the practitioners of that particular philosophy or whatever do not tend to actually experience, even though it's technically true. The teachings, the techniques, the methods, the practices do not tend to yield the result of enlightenment, peace, whatever the story, the wording, the languaging might be. So again, no, it didn't come from a particular individual. It did not come from an ascended master talking to me. Some individual, it did not come from some philosophy that I'm aware of. It came through direct experience as this amazing story unfolded that's called the Robert Sheinfeld story. If you want to continue to dialogue about that, that's fine, but that's really the simple answer. Question two, I find your philosophy quite brilliant. Again, to me, Justin, you might say, all right, enough already, you know, or whatever, but it's not a philosophy. And to me, it's not brilliant. You know, brilliant is a label for ideas and concepts, you know, that my bias, you know, it's a very highly positive label for how interesting or spot on or whatever something appears to be. But again, my experience of everything that's there is experience. It's not ideas and concepts. It to me, I guess I could say it's brilliant, but what I think is brilliant, bear with the language, particularly now because the teachings of the Ultimate Freedom Experience have been evolving. And as you know, the online course is based on a 4-day live event. It's now a 5-day live event, and a lot of things have changed. And when I look at what was taught in the 4-day event that you're aware of, what's shared in the 5-day event now, how it's evolved, these kinds of things, I actually say, you know, True Creative Essence is a brilliant storyteller. You know, this whole thing is amazing, and the way the Ultimate Freedom teachings have taken shape and are continuing to evolve and the way they're presented is extraordinary. It's amazing. So, you know, I don't want to push too hard on that word, but on your wording here, but it isn't a philosophy to me, and it's not brilliant. It's just the truth of the way things are. There's no judgment of brilliant or stupid or smart or whatever. It's just that's the way things are. That's what you can observe. Bear with the language when you're in a truthful relationship with what's actually happening. So I just wanted to say that. Continuing, my mind is still worrying and burring, however, about such things as responsibility. I'm going to stop there. Again, as I mentioned earlier to Linda, you are in what I call the destabilization stage of the mind machine. And if you haven't already listened to, watch the videos for Ultimate Key to Happiness that are included in the portal, there's more talk about those stages, that one in particular. And so the mind machine is buzzing and worrying and trying to resolve things that you learned before and stuff that you thought was true before. And it's trying to, at the idea and concept and intellectual and theoretical and speculative level, resolve old and new, cobble together old stuff with this new stuff, and it's unstable. So a lot of these kinds of things, as I mentioned to Linda and have mentioned in the archives, this is what happens. It doesn't mean it's bad or wrong. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It doesn't mean I'm being critical. I'm just telling the truth about it. Continuing, please excuse the following strong analogy. No need to excuse anything, Justin, and everything's fine. You're just trying to communicate where you are, and I appreciate that, and it doesn't make any difference. And it wouldn't matter if you said to me, Robert, I think you're the biggest idiot and asshole in the universe, and I think I wasted all of my money. You know, it just doesn't make any difference. Anybody who's participating here in the question and answer function is free, of course, to say anything, share anything in any way. Continuing, since there is no free will, does that mean Hitler is not responsible for lying, deceiving, manipulating, torturing, and murdering men, women, and children? Where is responsibility in this philosophy? I may be wrong, but I think if we think things are simply written and we don't have any free choice, that it could be quite easy to say and do things that are harmful to ourselves and others. Okay, Justin, I've heard this before. I've been asked questions like this. I asked questions like this to a certain degree, not much really, on my own journey, but even with the phase two busting loose teachings, which maybe you're aware of, maybe you're not. This again is buzzword in the mind machine, and the mind machine has in it about you have to take responsibility for your actions. You have to take responsibility for this and that. There are good things and bad things, and there are good people and bad people, and there are evil people and moral people, and all this kind of, the mind machine is so filled with stuff like this. And that's where this question is really coming from. It's the mind machine looking at the new data that there is no free will and it's all written and blah, 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 and is then buzzing and worrying on a story like Hitler, but it could be a lot of other ones, and saying, all right, well then, and then what's coming out is exactly what you're expressing here. And again, I have to say this isn't a philosophy. This is an experience, which is ultimately what resolves all of this stuff. And then there's, I think, if we think things are simply written and don't have any choice, it'd be quite easy to say and do things that are harmful to ourselves and others. Well, bear with the distortion in this, Justin. It's accurate in the way that I'm going to use it, but if you get too analytical about it, it can fall apart. First of all, in that is, people are individuals. They have free will. They have decision-making authority. They are driving the bus, and therefore, they could all of a sudden, out of the blue, start doing a lot of really bad stuff using this philosophy as an excuse. And the reality is, number one, that's not true. There aren't any individuals that could embrace this and start to do all kinds of bad things. And the other part, which is the part that I said is distorted, is, bear with the language here, don't take it too literally, look at what I'm pointing at. This has been going on throughout history, from what the history we're aware of at the story level, for thousands of years. Hitler isn't the only one that did a lot of, let's say, wild and crazy and quote-unquote evil, you know, all the kinds of things. It happens throughout history. Nobody needs a philosophy like this to give themselves permission to behave that way. It happens anyway, you know, and it happens in novels, and it happens in movies, and it happens in TV shows. This is all just a theoretical, intellectual idea and concept dance that you're talking about here. Makes perfect sense. It will be resolved at the experiential level if that's what's been written in your story for ultimate freedom to awaken. But here's the thing, and here's where there's also some distortion in here. If you go back to the Harry Potter stories, and I don't know if you've read them or watched the movies, if you haven't, then maybe what I'm about to say isn't going to be as useful, and I'll talk about it in a slightly different way. But the equivalent of Hitler in the Harry Potter stories is Voldemort. You know, he's the ultimate evil bad guy. Does Voldemort need to be responsible for what he does in the stories, in the movies, or in the novels? I'm pausing here for effect. If you're aware of the stories, the answer to that question is no. Voldemort doesn't have to take any responsibility for anything. You could say, well, he gets his in the end. If you know the stories, he dies, he gets defeated by the good guy. But does he need to take responsibility for anything? Does there need to be responsibility for stuff from characters in novels? There is often, but does there need to be? The answer is no. And if you say why, the answer is, well, because Voldemort's not real. He's a fictional character in a fictional story. Nobody was really lied to or deceived or manipulated or tortured or murdered, to use your examples, men, women, and children. It's all a story. Anybody that he appeared to kill was an imaginary character that he tortured, that he manipulated, that he whatever. Nobody needs to take any responsibility for it because it's not real. It didn't really happen. It's just a story. My bias and my experience with a capital E is it's the exact same thing for us. Hitler was a fictional character in a 3D total immersion story. He, quote unquote, didn't do anything. True creative essence shaped itself into Hitler and that whole thing that happened as a three-dimensional total immersion reading of a story, of a fascinating thing that happened. And it's interesting because most times when people argue with the things that I've been teaching, I'll just use that language. I know you're not arguing with it. You're just wondering. But there have been people historically with the Phase 2 Busting Loose teachings and these things that do argue with it. They give the example of Hitler. But it's really fascinating because if you look at what all that stuff in that Hitler story set into motion, it's amazing. It's an amazing story. There's all kinds of stories of what happened to people that were in the concentration camps that scarred them for life, so to speak. And other stories, you're probably aware of them, of how that was an amazing, freeing, transformational experience, being persecuted or being in a concentration camp or whatever else it was. And I was just in Germany, as you may know, for 10 days. I just got back last week, a few days ago on Sunday, the 5th of April, 2015. And I talked to a bunch of Germans, and I talked about this, and they say that the whole thing is taught in the schools in Germany, and it's not sugar-coated, and they haven't deleted things. Maybe they do somewhere, and there's a lot of discussion about how could that happen. You know, what was going on with Hitler that he ended up doing those things? And if you look at the journey from identity to essence, and you look at characters and stuff, as Michael Haig talked about it, there's a lot of talking about why Hitler was the way he was and what was going on in Germany at the time that allowed that kind of a thing to happen. And so it's an amazing story, very rich. You know, if it wasn't, there wouldn't be books about it. There wouldn't be movies about it. It wouldn't be taught in schools and explored in schools. And there wouldn't be places in Germany and other places where people can see museums of what happened, including some of the really gruesome, so to speak, pictures of what happened and the stuff. If there wasn't a fascinating, amazing experience there, it would have died and nobody would have talked about it. But it's a very, very rich, amazing story. But at its core, it was a story. It was true creative essence shaping itself into Hitler and the other Nazis. And it was true creative essence shaping itself into the Jews. And it wasn't just the Jews that were, quote unquote, mistreated. It was lots of Germans that the Nazis didn't like, which is something that was reinforced when I was there in Germany. They were telling me, yes, the Jews were by far the group that got the most, that was damaged the most, you could say, bear with the language, but it was all Germans that were resisting the Nazis that they didn't like for whatever reasons. And so anyway, it's an amazing story, very rich with opportunity for all kinds of things. And nobody was really hurt. Nobody was really killed. Nobody was whatever. And no, Hitler doesn't need to take responsibility for anything, just like Voldemort, because he's a fictional character. It was all true creative essence shaping itself into every element of that story, as I mentioned to Linda, to create the opportunity for unique play, exploration, and creative expression. And the mind machine can buzz and whir and say, well, Jesus, how fucking crazy is true creative essence to shape itself into that story, you know? And I can't argue with with that, really, except to me, again, the truth of it with a capital T is, this is all about, and the whole human game is about total immersion reading of amazing experiences, which means unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations and all kinds of different what-would-happen-if scenarios, including that kind of a gigantic quote-unquote negative, quote-unquote evil what-would-happen-if that then has been very rich in so many ways and will most likely continue to be. So those are some things. You might want to listen to the things that I just said because there's multiple levels to what I just said. Let the drops in your pond, let them ripple out, see where they go. Ultimately, again, you cannot resolve this, my bias, at the intellectual level. The mind machine will always buzz and whir and at the idea and concept level say, well, blah, 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 for why that doesn't make sense or there's a bad thing that could happen if that was true and all this other kind of stuff. But ultimately, when ultimate freedom awakens in blips or consistently and there's an experience of the truth that I just narrated, then all this kind of stuff goes away. It's not a problem and everything can be appreciated for the amazing creation that it is, the amazing story that it is, and the amazing opportunity it creates for true creative essence, the writer with capital T, capital W, to total immersion read these amazing human game experiences that are so rich with opportunities for unique experiences. Question three, this question is related to the previous one. It has to do with willpower and self-discipline. When losing 39 pounds a few years ago, I chose to change what I ate and to avoid eating other things. In order to do this, it helped a lot to have a goal of what I was trying to accomplish as well as an image of what I didn't want. Also, there are times when I don't feel like going to the gym or working after hours. Maybe working, I don't know. And however, I use discipline and willpower to get past the inner resistance. My concern is that if I just believed whatever was written is what was going to happen, then I wouldn't summon up the willpower and discipline necessary to accomplish things, but would be too passive and would give in to what was easy and not necessarily what was best. Please comment on your ultimate freedom philosophy and how it relates to willpower and self-discipline. Okay, again, no disrespect intended, Justin. This is pure mind machine, mind noise, dancing with things at a purely theoretical level, trying to move into the future and come up with a conclusion about what life would be like when ultimate freedom is awake, when that hasn't been experienced yet. It's a pure dance of flight of fancy or whatever of the mind machine trying to speculate about what things are going to be like when ultimate freedom is awake. Without, again, any data on that experience, without having had the experience and simply being able to deal with whatever distortions come from the data, the programs, and the algorithms that are in the mind machine, that were in the mind machine, cloud cover dynamics, and what you're talking about here isn't what happens. It isn't what actually happens. But I understand at the purely theoretical idea and concept intellectual level, this can seem like it's a problem, except it's not. But here's the interesting thing, and again, at the idea and concept level, it is very unlikely that the mind machine will agree with what I'm about to say at that level. When the truth of this, with a capital T, is experienced, then all of that will go away. But at the idea and concept level, what I'm about to say, which I have already said, I believe on day three, not sure, I think it was day three, it could have been day two. When you experience this, end of debate, end of speculation, end of theoretical. Until it's experienced, the theoreticals can be very hypnotic. They can certainly seem real and true, very mesmerizing, even though they're not. Okay, you said, I chose to change what I ate and to avoid eating other things. If you're reading a novel, and on page 258, okay, I've changed my tune. It's not 256, it's 258. You're reading in a novel about a character named Justin, and on page 258, what you're reading is, Justin decided that it was finally time to lose that extra 39 pounds that he'd been carrying for years. And you continue to turn the pages and read the story, and what you see is the Justin character changed what he ate, and somehow that would be narrated in the story. Justin always used to go to, McDonald's once a week. He used to this. This is what he used to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And as you're reading, turning the pages, reading this story, what you learn is Justin changed what he ate, and he started eating this for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So what happens there is, as the reader of that story, you are aware of a character who has changed what he ate. But as you're turning the pages reading this novel about this character named Justin, you, the reader, did not choose to change what you ate or to avoid eating other things. You're aware of a character who did. It's the same exact thing. And the relationship, as I said to Linda earlier, is the same exact thing. What actually happened in your story and what actually happens in similar kinds of dynamics is certain things appear in inner space, thoughts, feelings, sensations, certain things appear in story space. There's awareness of them by the total immersion reader. And then there's a story that says, I did it. I chose to start eating X and to stop eating Y. It's a very hypnotic, mesmerizing story that seems true, but the reality is it just happened. What happened was there was a decision that appeared in inner space, could have been a voice, could have been whatever, that said, okay, I'm finally going to lose this weight. Just like if you were reading on page 258 and you read, Justin decided it was finally time to burn off that extra 39 pounds and you know, whatever. You become aware of that somehow as you're turning the pages, and it's either because the Justin character on the pages says that out loud, or the author says Justin thought to himself. You become aware of it in a certain way. Again, this is not philosophy, Justin. This is not theory. This is what actually happens. This is what you can actually see with a capital S and experience with a capital E of what's really going on. It's not a theory or a philosophy. So you became aware of the desire to change what was being eaten. But as the total immersion reader, you were aware of it. You didn't do it. You, Justin, did not choose anything. You became aware of a choice being made. However, that happened in inner space. It helped a lot to have a goal. Well, what was the goal? And the image of what I didn't want. If you look at what actually happens, what that is. Okay, and again, I'm not being critical. I'm not jumping on you. I'm not saying you're stupid. And I'm nothing, anything like any of this. I'm just, through my biased eyes, I'm sharing the truth with a capital T about this. And what actually happened is no different than if you were reading a novel and da-da-da-da was happening with the character. And all of a sudden on page 258, all of a sudden you're reading, okay, I'm ready to lose this weight. I am now, and then you read, Justin set a goal. He wanted to lose 39 pounds over 4 months. I'm making this up. I don't know what your goal was. And so you're reading this story, and you say, okay, well, Justin now has a goal that he wants to lose the weight. And as I said to Linda, most of what I'm about to say isn't conscious if you're reading the story. But what's going on is, okay, well, let's see what happens. Maybe Justin will lose the weight. Maybe he won't. And then you turn the page, and what you'd see if the story tracked with yours is all of a sudden Justin changed what he ate. And he had this motivation, you know, whatever the negative was about keeping the weight on. And because you said here, as well as an image of what I didn't want. So I don't know what that is, you know, not liking that your pants always feel tight, not liking the way you look in the mirror, not feeling attractive to women, whatever it is, of what you didn't want. So you're reading in this novel, Justin set a goal. He was going to lose 39 pounds in 6 months, 4 months. And he held this image of, you know, whatever, that you're calling an image of what I didn't want. And you're turning the pages as this character is doing this, and you're curious what's going to happen. If you'd continued reading and what happened with you, quote unquote, happened, Justin lost the 39 pounds, did this, did that. It's no different. And again, intellectually, it's very unlikely at the idea and concept intellectual level that you're ever going to agree with this, because what you'll say is, no, I, Justin, decided. I set the goal. I set the, you know, I don't want this anymore, whatever you mean by an image of what I didn't know. I did it. But if you look at what actually goes on, my bias is what you can actually observe with a capital O, see with a capital S, experience with a capital E is no. Decisions are made. Goals are set. Things happen. their total immersion read by true creative essence, which is what's really going on, and then there's a mind machine story that says I did it. I think it's on day three. I'm not sure in the video somewhere, probably in the afternoon. I'm not sure. I talk about decisions, and I say, here's what happens. Thought appears, thought appears, thought appears, thought appears, thought appears, thought appears, conclusion, and decision. And then it gets hijacked by the mind machine, who then makes up a story and says, I made the decision. But again, if you were reading this novel and on page 258, Justin decided to lose the weight, set a goal, set an image of what he didn't want. You continue to read the pages 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 pages later. Whatever happened with you happened with this Justin character in the novel. Would you say that the Justin character in the novel set a goal? You might say that he did at the story level, but what is it really? It's the author of the story that wrote what was on page 258 and what was on the 60 pages. It was all a story. It didn't really happen. It's a total immersion movie experience in which Justin appeared to lose the weight. Now, you say, there are times I don't feel like going to the gym or working. However, I use discipline and willpower to get past the inner resistance. Again, my bias is, but I'll tell you, I have absolute certainty that you can verify this for yourself when enough cloud cover has been knocked out and enough sun is shining. What happens, similar to what I just said, is what appears in inner space is a desire to X. And then what appears in inner space, I'm being general here, you'll know what I mean, is a desire to not X. And as the total immersion reader, there's, I really should go to the gym. I don't really want to go to the gym. I don't feel like it, but I should, because then it'll help me to achieve this goal. And all these thoughts are appearing, however they appear, and you're aware of them as the total immersion reader, as true creative essence, total immersion reader. And then all of a sudden what happens is the Justin character goes to the gym. Despite all of this, I want to, I don't feel like it, you should, but I don't feel like it, you should, for this reason, because it'll support the goal, blah, blah. All of this noise, all this stuff happened. You could be turning the pages of the novel and reading about Justin wanting to go to the gym, not wanting, and turning the pages, and then you see, well, Justin exerted his self-discipline and willpower and went to the gym anyway and forced himself to do it because he really wanted to lose the 39 pounds, but it's not true. The author, in this case, true creative essence, shapes itself into the desire, shapes itself into the resistance to the desire, shapes itself into thoughts that appear to be self-discipline and willpower, that appear to have power, free will, whatever, and then shapes itself into going to the gym, not going to the gym, whatever it is. And then in phase one, with cloud cover in place, the mind machine hijacks credit and says what you said. I exerted self with willpower, and I, you might not have said forced. I'm just going to say I forced myself to go to the gym, even though there was inner resistance. But it isn't. That's not what actually happens. What happens is thoughts appear about going. To repeat myself, thoughts appear that you're calling inner resistance. You're reading about all those thoughts. A decision is made, go to the gym, don't go to the gym, whatever happens, and then it gets bonded to a story that says, I, Justin, the individual, the character, made the decision. I exerted willpower, and I've exerted willpower, but it's a story. If a character in a novel exerts willpower, did he or she really exert willpower? Yes or no? It seems like they did, but they didn't. It's the author shaping itself, his or her consciousness, into the character and everything that happened to them. And this can be experienced. It's not a philosophy. It's not a theory. Okay, continuing. My concern, okay, and before I go back to that, my concern means, if you look at the word, you are aware of thoughts appearing in inner space that are saying what I'm about to read again. It's not your concern. It's the concern of a character, Justin, that you're total immersion reading. But my concern is that if I just believed whatever was written is what was going to happen, then I wouldn't summon up the willpower and discipline necessary, blah, blah. It's the same thing I said before. This is the mind machine trying to project into the future about what might happen if ultimate freedom was awake, if you were really experiencing these things, and what might be bad about it. It's pure theoretical mind machine noise. That isn't what happens. I mean, it could, but it could happen whether ultimate freedom's awake in a story or not. But it doesn't happen in the way that you're talking about. It's not that all of a sudden ultimate freedom teachings are going to be used as an excuse that will lead to something bad happening. Again, this is just pure mind machine noise, buzzing and whirring with highly distorted data, programs, and algorithms, trying to project into the future as to what something might be like that hasn't actually been experienced yet, and then has these concerns. But it's a story. It's a mind machine output. It doesn't mean anything. And there are times that there appears to be willpower and there appears to be self-discipline in novels, in movies, in TV shows, but there's not really. It's just a story. But it's a very, very convincing story that can be very hypnotic and mesmerizing, but it doesn't really exist. As I've talked about in some other audios, you may have listened to them, Justin, you may not, other people listening may not. I now talk about things at two levels, the truth level and the story level. At the story level, there does appear to be willpower and self-discipline, the presence or absence thereof. There are some characters that would say, I have no willpower or self-discipline. You know, I can't, I know I should exercise, I know I shouldn't be eating, da-da-da, but I can't seem to stop myself, or sex addiction or whatever else it is, you know, and the other kinds of addictions or patterns. But at the story level, there can appear to be willpower and self-discipline, or again, absence thereof. At the truth level, whatever appears is always true creative essence shaping itself into that in order to play with, explore, and express itself creatively through what would happen if scenarios to ultimately have amazing experiences, which include appearances in inner space and story space and the intertwining of the two. My invitation to you, Justin, like to Linda, is look at these as drops in the pond. Let them ripple out for a while. Listen to this again, let any new ripples ripple out a while, and then whenever it's been written, so to speak, for the dialogue to continue, be happy to continue the dialogue with you. But before I close here, I just want to say, and don't take this wording too literally, except in a story told by the mind machine, when ultimate freedom awakes, there is never any bad news. It's only good news. There's definitely change. There's nothing valuable or precious that's lost. There's no, oh God, I wish ultimate freedom hadn't awakened because, geez, I used to really, you know, have a good life and now I have a suck life. I really used to be able to enjoy da-da-da-da and now I can't enjoy da-da-da-da and so my life is, I'm worse off than I was before. That, to my knowledge, that's never happened. That doesn't mean true creative essence wouldn't play with something like that. But on this journey, it's about playing in the sunshine. It's about being in a truthful relationship. And when you, with a capital T, with everything that's appearing, and when you are in a truthful relationship with everything that's appearing, there's never anything bad about it. There are things that can happen at the story level. Same thing as if you're turning the pages of a novel. Bad things can happen to good people in a novel or a movie or a television show, but it's not really looked at that way. And as I mentioned with Linda and I've mentioned before, it's all about the opportunities that those things that unfold in a story at the story level, the opportunities for appearances in inner space and story space, unique thoughts, feelings, and sensations as these total immersion stories unfold. And that's the point of all of it. Okay, here's the next question. Oh, and boy, this is a long one, so be prepared. Nothing wrong with that. No judgment, just warning you. It's very long, I can see from looking at the email that came. This is from Dara. I have watched all multiple times beyond counting. Yeah, I'm hardcore like that. Okay. A few things. There is a science series on Netflix called Brain Games that I thought was very supportive of phase two ideas, how reality is mostly made up, and was an interesting demonstration of the mechanism of how the machine mind buzzwords. What I found particularly of interest were the demonstrations in episode number one of how easy it is to trick the brain into identifying with something that is not the self, with a small s. It really demonstrates how easily we become attached to the story space and our roles as characters. It doesn't take much to convince us. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Dara, my bias, and again, I'm not being judgmental or critical. My bias is the only truly supportive thing on this path is actually seeing with a capital S, experiencing with a capital E, the truth with a capital T of what's going on. And anything else like these kinds of things and like video clips I show and other things that are part of the way that I teach, so to speak, are just ultimately crutches and supportive things, truth virus-y things that support the actual experience of it. But to me, the most important piece is actually seeing what's going on with the mind machine, seeing the buzz whir, seeing the pure raw experience and the story and the fusion of the two, and that being the most important thing. The reason I'm saying this is because there are so many characters in the way that they're built, and this is what's written, bear with the language, including the way Robert used to be, that just are in such a habitual pattern of idea and concept, idea and concept, idea and concept, think, 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 analyze, 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 dance with thoughts in inner space. And the overwhelming emphasis here is not on that. It's on experience and actually experiencing the truth. So again, this is great. I'm not saying you're wrong for thinking this is supportive or that people shouldn't watch something like that. I'm not saying anything like that at all. I'm just taking this opportunity to hammer the point home that you can't think your way through the cloud cover. You can't think your way into ultimate freedom. You can't see interesting things like this that ultimately go anywhere. You have to actually experience the truth. Anyway, I just wanted to hammer that point home. Number two, continuing. There is a huge amount of scientific research out there now confirming the holographic universe theory and more coming out all the time. I have compiled a fairly extensive list of the research, which seems sufficient to convince even the most hard-headed of scientific materialists still clinging to consensus reality. I've taken a professional interest in this and have been digging it out for some papers and talks I am working on. The holographic universe hypothesis resolves a lot of the conflicts between quantum science, Einstein, and Newtonian physics. Let me know if you'd like a copy. Okay, again, Dara, same thing. I'm not poo-pooing this. I'm not being judgmental or critical, but when you see seems sufficient to convince, what you're talking about is a logical argument with data and evidence that can cause the mind machine analyzing it to buzz whir and come up with a conclusion that it's true. And that's very different. That's ideas and concepts. That's operating at the mind machine level, at the intellectual, theoretical kind of a level. And that has very limited benefit. It's a good first step. But ultimately, the real power, the real transformation, whatever you want to call it, none of those words serve, is experiencing the truth with a capital E, which is what ultimate freedom is designed to support. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong about this for you or anyone else. I'm just saying, and the other thing about this is you can say that because it's convinced you, but there's a whole lot of quantum physicists out there that talk about all kinds of things, but the way they live their lives, it's still as if it's real. It's still with cloud cover in place, and they've been firmly convinced about the true nature of reality, but it doesn't knock out cloud cover, and it doesn't really change, in a lot of cases, the way that they live day to day, because the mind machine still, whatever, you know, is afraid of germs or is afraid of calories and gaining weight or stock market crashes or whatever else it is. So again, I'm not being judgmental or critical here. I'm just saying this is going down the path of ideas, concepts, buzz whir. Convincing is all about thoughts and ideas and the dance of thoughts with each other. And it's very, very different from experiencing the truth, which is what happens. Ultimate freedom is not thinking. It's not being convinced. It's experiencing the truth with a capital T, being in a truthful relationship with a capital T with everything. Number three, I got to try, and again, I get that you're just sharing this and you're not giving any advice or, you know, whatever. I realize you're just making a generous offer there, but my role as I see it and what's coming through at the moment, what's being expressed is to continue to hammer this point of the difference between experiencing truth and understanding, accepting, being convinced at the idea and concept level of truth. And just my bias. Number three, I got to try flotation recently when a flotation tank place opened up not far from one of the universities I teach for. The first time was weird and awkward, but the second time was amazing. I second your recommendation. Yeah, that's common. For some people, it's not just the first time, it's multiple first times until at the story level, there's a relaxation into the alien environment, you could say, and then it becomes amazing. So cool. Number four, a sharing along with your Ultimate Key to Freedom videos. I have been really jamming on the hero's journey stuff. Although I encountered Joseph Campbell's work decades ago, it is producing a whole new level of meaning for me now. Using the hero's journey like Michael Haig discussed in the video, I have analyzed my own life and discovered that I am rapidly approaching that pivotal point in the plot where the hero faces the ultimate challenge and test of courage. Gee, great. Okay, Dara, again, I just have to say, when you say, I have analyzed my own life and discovered, what that means to me is Mind Machine is buzzing and worrying at the idea and concept level about the Dara story. And overlaying the hero's journey onto it has buzzed and worried and come out with a conclusion. And maybe it's accurate, maybe it's not. What would be much more, I don't know what the word is, supportive to me, exciting to me, bear with the language, would be if you said, as I was studying the hero's journey stuff, what I called earlier on a thought ball appeared in inner space and said, Dara is da-da-da-da in terms of the story versus when you say I've analyzed. Because to me, anytime the word analyzed is used, to my bias, it's synonymous with distortion, inaccurate in general, can be exceptions. And so maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. My pointer here is simply that that's, again, an idea and concept dance. Maybe accurate, may not. Doesn't mean anything. Ultimately, turn the page, wait and see what happens. Continuing, as you described in your own journey, Dara has been on a wild ride of ups and downs, booms and busts, and now the Dara character is facing the dissolution of the career path she has followed for the last 17 years. And must either seek another academic job in the near future or take a leap of faith and create her own independent career path. Word to the wise, never try to make a living as a philosophy professor in a state that bottoms the list in funding for education. The problem is complicated by the fact that her character seems to be written to do everything ass backwards and cattywampus, shooting herself in the foot almost every chance she gets. Guess that's the comic relief aspect of Dara's story. I've said this recently, Dara, there's a lot of drama and a lot of Mind Machine buzz whir in there. Again, if you were reading a novel and the hero of the novel was a character named Dara, and the same thing that's happening with you was happening with her, as you're turning the pages, what would be going on inside of you as the reader, whether it's conscious or not, is, wow, Dara is facing a real challenge in her career. I'm curious to see what happens. Is she going to get another job? Is she going to start a business? Is she going to become homeless? You know, I mean, whatever. Not real conscious, but it's turn the page. I'm so anxious to see what's going to happen to Dara. A lot of this other stuff about ass backwards and cattywampus is stories. Shooting herself in the foot is stories. If a character in a novel does da-da-da-da, why did they do it? If a character in a movie does something that you're calling ass backwards or cattywampus, are they doing that? Are they shooting themselves in the foot? Or is it just a story that's unfolding in which a character is appearing to do things? Again, cattywampus and ass backwards is a story. It's a negative judgmental story. Shooting herself in the foot is a negative judgmental story. The truth is, da-da-da-da happened. Not good, not bad, not ass backwards or forwards, not cattywampus or whatever, not shooting oneself in the foot. It's just what happened as a story was unfolding. Okay, continuing. Dara's connection to true creative essence is spotty, crystal clear and imminent at times, totally missing at others. When she steps into the inner space videos, she has been following inner urgings rather than knee-jerk responding to the machine mind's fearful imaginings. She is trying to feel her way into a new level and has been moved to start applying for public speaking gigs, still waiting to hear if proposals are accepted for several venues. But that takes time and persistence to build a sustainable income level. Okay, I'm going to stop there. That may be true, that may not be true, but again, that's just a Mind Machine story. learned from somewhere where you learned about public speaking. And, you know, these things take time, you know, and persistence and da-da-da-da. So I'm just pointing on the fact that this, again, is just mind machine noise. Maybe true in your story, maybe not. But it's just skimming along the idea and concept level based on what the mind machine has learned. Continuing, although her novels are still fairly popular, she has not really tried to wrest any income from her writing endeavors. But as the old Grateful Dead song says, you can't go back and you can't stand still. If the thunder don't get you, then the lightning will. Just like the hero's journey predicts, this is the point of facing the hero's greatest fears as Dara sees economic apocalypse looming on the horizon. Again, Dara, right or wrong, accurate or inaccurate, distorted or whatever, I'm seeing a whole lot of drama here coming from the mind machine, analyzing and buzzing and worrying and kicking out these very dramatic stories about what's going on with a highly analytical component to it. May be accurate, may not be accurate, but when I'm reading all of this, what's appearing in inner space is, this is the mind machine talking, this is the mind machine talking, this is the mind machine talking. With a heavy dance of idea and concept and a lot of drama. And the drama being enhancements by the mind machine and that kind of a thing. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing bad with that. The mind machine was built to be the way that it is, unique for all of us. And this is just what I'm seeing and feeling as I'm going through your narrative here. Continuing. It seems that the Dara character is approaching the same point in the story arc in Star Wars in which Luke Skywalker had to listen to Obi-Wan's inner urging to turn off the targeting computer and use the Force to make the one in a million shot that will destroy the Death Star. In other words, to stop using external means and to trust internal resources. Like Luke, Dara is scared of failure and the stakes are high, but the trajectory of the story arc is clear. Either she makes that leap of faith or else. I keep remembering the video clip you showed of Magneto manifesting a bridge as he confidently steps into the abyss. Okay, I got to say the same thing, Dara. What's screaming in inner space for me is mind machine noise, mind machine noise, mind machine noise with a whole lot of drama, buzzing and worrying on the hero's journey stuff that it's been jamming into its database, so to speak, and looking at movies and Grateful Dead and all this kind of stuff. So, interesting, no problem, nothing wrong. That's just the truth that I'm seeing. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. We'll see what happens in the Dara story at this particular time as these particular things unfold. Continuing, knowing where I am in the story cycle is both helpful and terrifying. I'm going to stop there. You don't know where you are in the story cycle, Dara. There's just a mind machine story that has, in your own words, analyzed these things and has come up with a conclusion that this is what's going on in the Dara story. This is where I am. This is what's about to happen. And maybe accurate, maybe not. I feel like saying probably not, but we'll see. Both helpful and terrifying, as I mentioned earlier with Linda, and I've said in other questions, helpful and terrifying are stories. The opportunity is to look at what's actually appearing in inner space that's called helpful. Look at what's appearing in inner space that's called terrifying and get into a truthful relationship with both because something's appearing and then there's a story about it. Continuing, like Luke in Star Wars and Dorothy in A Wizard of Oz, I already have everything I need to accomplish my goal, but it's obvious that Dara still doesn't trust true creative essence to be there at the crucial moment. Okay, a lot of drama again there, a lot of mind machine noise, and there's also an element of truth in terms of what's in the mind machine about lack of trust, which clearly is something that's being pushed on to one degree or another. Perhaps not with the drama, perhaps not with the conclusions that you've talked about, but it definitely is in play. Continuing, the UKF materials are very helpful, as are the non-dualism resources you suggested, but at the end of the day, they all too often just end up being more buzz-worrying as the mind machine appropriates them and then starts using them to beat Dara up for knowing better yet not applying what she knows and succumbing to her remaining phase one conditioning. Okay, I'm stopping again. There's a lot of accuracy in there, and that's a different way of wording what I've been wording. is that there's a lot of buzzword going on now, absolutely. And that's because, and I talked about this in a slightly different way with Justin in the previous questions, all of this that's in the Ultimate Freedom Teachings is being danced with at the idea, concept, mind level, and there isn't actually a seeing or an experiencing of what's actually happening yet. Maybe it's part of your story later, maybe it's not, I don't know. But whenever you dance purely at the idea and concept level, it isn't going to go anywhere. None of this can be resolved by thinking about it. None of this can be resolved by analyzing it. Nothing can be resolved by simply letting the thoughts dance with each other and argue with each other or fight with each other in the way that I talked about. The opportunity is to really see what's actually happening in terms of the videos, and then the opportunity is True Creative Essence will drop it down from idea, concept, and analysis into experience with a capital E, which is the only place that anything changes. Continuing, this vacillation is most irritating and exhausting, even though Dara can see that this is the stuff of which stories are made, and that is how she is written to be. It is that cringe worthy part of the story when you don't know if the protagonist is going to make the crucial leap that saves the world. Okay, again, more drama and more overlay of what you know at the idea and concept level about stories. A whole lot of drama and overlay onto what's actually happening. Maybe accurate, maybe not. The only thing that's going to tell is continuing to see what happens in the story as it unfolds. There is the opportunity to look at what you're calling irritating and exhausting and separate the story from the raw material. That's where the magic can happen. Not just having more ideas about what truth is with a capital T and what it's like and the other things that the mind machine deals with at that kind of a level. Continuing, but of course the hero always does make the leap, usually at the last minute when it looks as though they must inevitably crash and burn. Unless the story is a tragedy, in which case the hero goes down in flames, but usually still manages to save the cat or kill the emperor, or allow the innocents to escape, whatever the story dictates. I am fairly sure I am not in a tragic tale, although you never can tell from inside story space. Okay, same thing, continuing. Mind machine noise, overanalyzing, dealing with things at the idea and concept level. Again, Dara, I'm not being critical or judgmental here. I'm pushing on this because this is exactly the way the Robert character was, and it's the way that the Robert character was for a really long time. And I just see that so clearly. And then I see what happens when it bumped down to becoming experiential and when I actually began to see, so to speak, with a capital S in the way that I talked about with Justin in the previous question, what was really going on. Getting into a truthful relationship with everything, and then all of this drama and all the analysis and the overlaying of ideas and concepts and things the mind machine has learned stops, weakens, and then ultimately stops. Continuing, it's easy to see intellectually, but a lot harder to enact as a character when you've got story space in your face and the machine mind buzzing away, churning out phase one residue. Just when I think I've got it licked, it comes roaring back as strong as ever. Understanding that it's all part of the story's plot twists and communications, complications only helps when I'm not identified with the sub-personalities or merged with the inner space videos. In other words, when I'm able to come from True Creative Essence and Dara doesn't get to pick out when those times of connection will be, it comes and goes of its own accord, not by Dara's schedule. Yes, all of that's true. To me, it's more mind machine noise and drama and overlays, like a lot of what I've said here before. And the opportunity here, which a lot of which or all of which were experienced in the Robert story, is that ultimately, bear with the language here, the experience drops from the dance of ideas and concepts into experiencing the truth. And then that's when amazing things start to happen. You're addressing this when you're saying it's easy to see intellectually, but a lot harder to experience. Absolutely. Remember, Dara, I've said this before. I'll probably say it again. In the Robert story, and it wouldn't have mattered if this had happened. It just didn't. The awakening of ultimate freedom did not happen in an hour. It didn't happen in a week. It was the culmination in a three-year experience of a journey that unfolded over 10, 11, 12 years, if you count the phase two dynamics of it and using the busting loose phase two tools and all of that. So I don't know when you first experienced ultimate freedom. I didn't experience a course of ultimate freedom that I then the mind machine could dance with or not. These things just happened in the way that I talked about. So it was a little bit different for me, but the magic does not happen until it drops from idea, concept, and mind machine output to experiencing with a capital E, seeing what's really going on with a capital S and such. And my guess is that'll cause more frustration because you'll say, mind machine will buzz and whir and say, yeah, Robert, I totally get that. And, you know, what am I supposed to do? I want it to become experiential. It's not. I understand it intellectually, and I'm not living and breathing it, and I want to. And then underneath that, most likely, is please give me a magic bullet that can drop this to experience. I really want to get out of this hell that I've been in, you know, kind of a thing. And I totally get that, and I've been there and experienced it. But as I talked about, and as it unfolded in the Robert story, it's a story. It changes a little bit at a time in general, although it can be anything. And many, many characters go through this kind of a stage, although there's a whole lot of, a lot more what I would perceive as mind machine noise and analytical and overlay and drama that's going on here. And there isn't the drama, but there is the analytical piece in where Justin is. And these are ways that mind machines were built to operate. The Robert characters was, and ultimately what happened in the Robert story is it dropped down, just to use that language. The old pattern of trying to run everything through mind and dancing with ideas and concepts shattered and was replaced by seeing with a capital S, experiencing with a capital E, and then as I began to see with a capital S the things that are really going on, everything changed and then changed more and then changed more. But it was a journey that unfolded over a longish period of time. It didn't happen overnight. And so even though it was my desire for it to happen overnight, but as I've explained, it doesn't tend to work that way on this path. Continuing, the rest of the time when Dara is fully immersed in the story, she knows all this and still doesn't give a shit. She freaks out anyway. It does make for a more interesting story that way, but it takes a toll on the player's hit points, to borrow phase two plus computer game vocabulary. I don't know what hit points are. Can't I just level up already? Come on, true creative essence, turn the page. Okay, more mind machine noise. I understand. The same noise was in Inner Space a hell of a lot in the Robert character story, but the story's the story. If you're aware of the Harry Potter stories because you've read one or more of the books, seen one or more of the movies, and you remember what I said in the videos, Harry Potter wanted to defeat Voldemort in the first book. It wasn't written to happen that way. A whole lot of other stuff, twists and turns, difficult, painful, tragic, whatever you want to call it, stuff had to happen before ultimately the wish was fulfilled. And it's the same thing with this journey. It is not designed to happen instantly. In general, there can be exceptions. Continuing again, it's all merely part and parcel of the larger story, but geez, I really don't want to get to the verge of crashing and burning before making that crucial turn. Internal pressure and momentum for transformation are building at the same time I'm getting the squeeze externally. I'm going to stop there. The same thing happened in the Robert story. If you take a look at what I called my story on day three, you can see that that happened. I didn't want it to happen. Mind machine had all, when I say I, the mind machine had all kinds of opinions about that and how it would have preferred that it be. But the story's the story. And I feel like saying that the journey into ultimate freedom awakening is never going to look like what the mind machine would prefer. And it will probably never occur in the time frame that the mind machine would prefer. So, okay. It all seems to be coming to a head at the same time. I get it. I've got a family and all the usual postmodern accoutrements just to make the stakes even higher and the story even more exciting. It's kind of embarrassing to be in such a predictable plot line. Yet, as Michael Haig points out in The Hero's Two Journeys, if those crucial story elements are left out, the audience or reader is not satisfied. It's all about eliciting emotions. Okay, more analytical, mind machine noise and drama. Really starting to have a lot more empathy for the characters in my novels. Now Dara is getting a new appreciation of the fresh hell she regularly heaps upon her protagonists in her books. Any thoughts or comments? Thanks again for all that you do. Well, again, my overwhelming thought and comment, and I'm still saying, you know, I'm not being judgmental or critical, and every single thing that I have said to you and that I said to Justin are things that the Robert character went through. It wouldn't have mattered if that happened or not. It just happened to matter. I was in mind for most of my life. Beareth the language. I was in logic, intellect, dance of ideas and concepts and thoughts, trying to run everything through the mind, logic and intellect dominating everything in the way that it appeared. At some point, understanding certain things about truth with a capital T, but not fully, because the mind machine cannot fully understand truth. It was not built to do that, can't do that. Has to be experienced. You know, was desperate to experience it and to break that pattern of intellect, 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 mind, 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 thinking, 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 wanting to, you know, but not, and then frustration, all that. And then at some point, the cloud cover, you know, enough of it had been knocked out. I started to see what was really going on with a capital S, the things I shared. And then all of a sudden, when it came to being experiential, everything changed. And so if what's been written in the Dara story is for ultimate freedom to awaken, all of these are critical parts of it as they were for Robert. And it makes a great story, you know, and everything else that you know about stories. And it is what it is. It unfolds as it unfolds, again, almost never, if ever, in the way that the mind machine would prefer or thinks is the best way or whatever. So turn the page. It's going to unfold as it unfolds. What's going to happen is going to happen. At some point, if it's been written for the Dara character to have this all in my language, which is flawed, drop down experiential instead of the dance of ideas, concepts, and thoughts, that'll be what happens. And then there'll be awareness of that, and they'll be noticing how different it is, and you'll be noticing of what will probably be called progress. And a lot of the stuff that's been dumped out here will weaken and weaken and weaken and then drop out as there's more and more fascination with seeing what's actually happening, being in a truthful with a capital T relationship with everything that's happening and experiencing the truth. And so that's what I feel motivated to do. Ultimately, the net of all of this is, imagine that the Dara story is, I'm making up a number, it doesn't mean anything, is 10,000 pages. And you're on page 2,800, and there's a whole lot of other stuff that's going to happen in the next 7,200 or whatever the math is there, pages. And we're just going to have to wait and see, just like you do when you're reading a novel and the character's in deep shit, I'll just call it that, in a real difficult situation. And then we have to wait as the situation resolves itself over time as the pages get turned. And so we'll just have to wait and see where all of this goes. But my guess is, because this happened so many times in the Robert story, when you look back on this particular narrative, if you ever do, once more sunshine is shining, once ultimate freedom has truly started to awaken at the experiential level, if you're like me, and you may not be, but I think you will be, you know, there'll be a lot of humor and amusement with this whole stage and what the mind machine is kicking out with all of this stuff, with all the drama, all the conclusions, all the noise, all the everything else. It'll be quite humorous and amusing, and it'll all make sense in terms of why it unfolded that way, at least to a certain extent. And if that happens, hopefully you'll come forward and share that, because it'll be interesting for me and others to hear that. So on that note, I will conclude my answer to that question, and I'll look forward to continuing dialogues with you, Dara, about the unfolding story. And again, there's so much of what you're saying in here that I can identify with. I didn't know as much about storytelling when this process started that you do. I was not a writer of fiction. I hadn't studied a lot of these kinds of things. So there are some differences, but so much of what the mind machine is spewing out and the drama and the fear and the all these other things are things that have been there, done that, experienced it to a very deep degree and have, this language isn't correct, but I'll just say I've got a huge amount of clarity on why it was that way, why it had to be that way, why it was useful, And all of it is looked at as precious and amazing and mind-blowing to me now, even though in the middle of it, so many times, it was get me the hell out of here. I can't stand this. I can't do this anymore. Please make it stop, all that kind of stuff. But lack of a better term, when I came out the other end, when more sun was shining, ultimate freedom was awakening, I was beginning to see with a capital S and experience with a capital E the truth of it all. Everything changed, and that ultimately is what has to happen. Okay, let's move on. This next question was submitted by Linda. I finished all the videos, UKF online course. She already submitted one, I believe, so we know that background. Hi, Robert. It seems like I've known you forever. I'm not going to put quotation marks by all references to I, me, and you in this question slash share. Please understand I'm aware of the transformational language. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Linda, I understand my bias, and I could be wrong, but I'm sharing this for your benefit in case I am correct and for the benefit of others listening if a similar thing surfaces. It's very useful to use transformational vocabulary, so I'm going to invite you to do it and to look at the fact that why did you not want to do it? It's possible that it's a laziness program in the mind machine or something like that, because the interesting thing is... In parentheses, I'm not going to put quotation marks by all references to I, me, and you in this question share. Please understand I'm aware, blah, blah, blah. That's actually a lot more words, a lot more effort and energy than just putting the quotes in. So there's an interesting something running there, whether it's laziness, quote unquote, or not. You might want to take a look at it. But I just find from my own experience and the experience of many other characters that it is worth it, so to speak. It's useful, so to speak. It's supportive, or it can be, to take the time to do that, because the mind machine is seeing I put in quotes. It's seeing me put in quotes. And my bias is when that happens versus just saying I, especially at the beginning. Ultimately, none of this matters when ultimate freedom is fully awake, but it's supportive as of the truth virus, of exchanging lies, illusions, and stories for truth. And having said that, what happens, happens. Okay, continuing. We met 13 years ago at a Dan Kennedy seminar in Cleveland, Ohio. My character, Linda, can certainly see the change in your character from shy, almost wanting to be invisible, which surprised my character back then, to a witty, full of life, joyful being. Wow. I'm going to stop there for a minute. Linda, if it appears to be a wow from you looking from the outside, so to speak, as dramatic as the change may be, imagine how it was for the Robert character to be the total immersion reader of a shift like that. It's extraordinary. There are no words to describe what that experience of thawing out or whatever you want to call it, transformation, whatever you want to call it, the words don't matter for this Robert character as a result of the teachings. Okay, continuing. I have a share and a question. First, the share. When you spoke about true creative essence shaping itself into all the different people, places, things, environments, everything that we can see and think of, this quote-unquote thought appeared in quote-unquote my inner space. Okay, despite the disclaimer, you are putting quotes around things, so that's interesting too. Appeared in my inner space. True creative essence is my food, too. I'm ingesting true creative essence every time I eat. So my character can now look at food as a most magnificent experience and expression of true creative essence, rather than seeing food as bad from the buzzing and worrying in the mind machine. That was a great seeing for my character. Okay, cool. The other thing it's important to see, and you probably already do, is as part of that, true creative essence is the food. True creative essence is the Linda body. True creative essence is the digestive system of the Linda body. True creative essence is everything in that scenario of quote-unquote eating. And because true creative essence is everything in that scenario, what's being eaten, so to speak, the eater, so to speak, and what happens as a result of the eating, it can shape itself into anything. Which is why there doesn't need to be the same kinds of cause and effect, although there can be, when ultimate freedom is awake, when you knock out a lot of cloud cover, and why so many people, even in phase one and phase two, have such different reactions, so to speak, to things than other people. And so there are scientists and doctors that'll try to explain those kinds of uniquenesses. But to me, the truth is true creative essence is shaping itself into every cause. It's shaping itself into every effect, and it's shaping itself into every relationship between cause and effect, if there is one, and what happens, because it is everything and can control, so to speak, bear out the language, every sort of interaction that can happen as part of the human experience, regardless of what or who is interacting. Okay, continuing. Now my question with some backstory first. I finished the videos on March 31st, 2015. Then it seemed like True Creative Essence was throwing some wrenches into my mind machine to see how my character would react. Okay, I'm going to stop there. The languaging of that assumes that, and it's hard to put this into words, it assumes that a contradiction to what you said before about True Creative Essence being everything. It doesn't throw wrenches into something to see how you will react. I mean, a human might do that, but that isn't what True Creative Essence does, because again, its True Creative Essence is everything that you're experiencing, including you, the mind machine, and everything that happens in inner space or story space. It doesn't need to see how you're going to react. However you react is how True Creative Essence shaped itself into your reaction. Same thing with a novel. Anything a character says or does or thinks or feels, or how any character reacts to anything in the story, is the author shaping its own consciousness, imagination, whatever, into the character, saying, doing, thinking, feeling, and reacting. So that is a distortion, and that's got some old cloud cover residue about there's True Creative Essence and there's me, you know, and they're separate and everything hasn't been written, and True Creative Essence might be curious to see what would happen in a cause and effect kind of a world, or whatever you might want to call it, when a wrench is thrown in. So that's not accurate in terms of the way you languaged it, and maybe you meant something else, but I think there is in fact a cloud cover distortion there, which is why I'm pushing on it. So continuing, to see how my character would react. Number one, my iPad, quote unquote, slipped out of my hands, landed on the floor, glass face down, and shattered. I've had it for over 3 years without any incidents of dropping, etc. Two, I was overcome with vertigo the next day and couldn't function all day. Number three, Thursday, I was loading TurboTax into my PC and I discovered my CD-ROM driver was corrupted and I couldn't load the program. I took my PC to Staples to get it fixed. Four, Friday, I thought I could use my laptop to start doing my taxes. I turned on my laptop and there were messages about it needing to be updated. So I checked the OK radio button, the laptop buzzed in Word and then shut off abruptly, and I had a black screen and nothing. So another trip to Staples. Understand I'm a coach and use my computer for business, so this situation would be highly frustrating slash upsetting, being totally computerless if quote unquote I, there again, there's quotes all over the place here when you said you weren't going to do it, which is interesting. Again, there's something significant to that comment at the beginning. If I wasn't watching this from the phase three perspective. Okay, again, there's an opportunity there. I prefer the languaging, total immersion reading. And again, you know I'm picky on words and I think they're significant. Watching is something very different than total immersion reading. When we talk about that who you really are is true creative essence, total immersion reading. In your case, the Linda story. In my case, the Robert story. So it's a more accurate way of describing it, which to me is very powerful, versus using watching when you might say, I'm watching a movie, I'm watching a TV show, I'm watching something out my window. It's a different experience than what's really going on. So my invitation to you and everyone else is there's a great opportunity to use transformational vocabulary. Number five, Staples was finally able to fix my PC on Monday, April 6th, 2015. My laptop isn't fixed as of today, 9:15. Staples Tech said they couldn't get it to reboot, so they are going to have to reformat my hard drive. This is a new computer, exclamation point. 6. My sister and I have been fighting, quote-unquote, a lawsuit that was filed against my mother's estate and trust for the past year, and we thought we were finally in an agreement with my stepfather slash sister, and a major wrench was thrown into the process yesterday, bringing it to a halt. Is stuff like this happening to a character is what you mean by a character will get, quote-unquote, major frustrating experiences to see how a character will react to it, and if there is no reaction from the mind machine to the frustrating situations, TCE will change the story. I'm going to stop there. Again, Linda, there's a distortion there in terms of what's going on. True creative essence doesn't need to see how a character is going to react to anything. It knows because it's shaping itself into what's happening and a reaction based on what it wants to play with, explore, and how it wants to express itself creatively. So there's no doubt or mystery. True creative essence shapes itself into what it shapes itself into in order to play, explore, and express itself creatively in the unique ways it wants to through unique characters and unique what would happen if unfolding stories. What this is about is, and I talk a lot more about this now in the live 5-day Ultimate Key to Freedom because there's more time, and also it's been 3 years since I did the event that composes the videos in the course. Is if point A is a character is in phase two, that's point A, and point B is ultimate freedom is fully awake in a story. The journey from point A to point B, the journey through the cloud cover, the journey into ultimate freedom being fully awake in a story, is going to unfold as a story. It's going to unfold over time. It's going to have a lot of the kinds of elements that Michael Haig talked about in the two Art of Storytelling sequences in terms of what makes a great story, and it's going to unfold over time. And there's always, on this path, it seems, the opportunity for what I call a guided tour of how your character was built, how it was wounded, how the cloud cover was built, why things happened the way they did for so long, which is one of the most fascinating parts of the journey is to see those kinds of things, take those guided tours. And so these kinds of experiences are not being created to see how you will react, to test you, to push on you until you as an individual with independent decision-making authority and power can show that you're worthy or you've graduated or whatever. It can seem that way, but it's just a way of unfolding the journey from ultimate freedom, from cloud cover to sun shining and ultimate freedom in phase three with unique twists and turns to make a great story. And very often the way it looks is what you were trying to describe with your language, which is that an old way of reacting, which is generally an old, quote-unquote, negative way of reacting, starts out the way it used to be, very strong, very difficult, very troublesome, big problem, I hate this, get me the hell out of this bad thing that I don't like. And it gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker until it can appear multiple times, and you're in a truthful relationship with it, with a capital T, which means one of two things. It's always one of two things with ultimate freedom awake. It's either that what used to happen disappears and doesn't happen anymore, or what happened, what used to happen a lot, an old reaction, to use your word, continues. But since you're the total immersion reader of a character having that reaction, it's like you reading a novel or watching a movie where a character has a reaction and it's not you, and you feel something and you experience it deeply, or can, especially with the total immersion human experience. But it's very different than if it was happening to quote unquote you in phase one with cloud cover in place. So very often that's what happens, but it's not some sort of a test. It's not true creative essence doing some sort of an experiment. It's not, you know, somebody seeing if you've learned a lesson, you know, kind of a thing that's in many teachings. It's, again, a unique way of unfolding the journey from point A to point B of awakening ultimate freedom fully in a story. with a guided tour component, and that's what it is. And very often, a lot of these things reveal what's in the cloud cover, reveals programs, data, and algorithms in the mind machine as the truth virus is working its way through these things, and you could say transforming them, changing them, deleting them, modifying them, whatever, metaphorically. It's showing, it's almost like the truth virus, if it was a person, and it's not, it's almost like it's working its way through the mind machine, and at various points it pops up and it says, hey, in your case, Linda, look at this. Look at this pattern. You know, there's an old, I'm making stuff up here, there's an old victim pattern when you drop something and it breaks that's been troubling you all of your life. There's a this, there's a that. I'm changing it now, the truth virus is saying, but look at what's there. Look at what I found in your mind machine as I've been reprogramming it, changing it, whatever. That's kind of like what the guided tour thing is like in a way. And so that's what it is. And then very often, once the truth virus has completed its work on a particular part of the mind machine, a particular project, you could say, related to the mind machine, then true creative essence does change the story. Again, there's the two options. More often than not, in the Robert story, it's that whatever used to repeat all the time and used to be a big problem stops appearing permanently. But it appeared for a while, and there was total immersion reading of it, and then it disappeared. But that's not a rule or a formula. When you read novels, when you watch movies, when you watch television shows, you're always seeing characters that are having quote-unquote negative reactions to things and cloud cover reactions to things, distortions, lies, illusions, and stories. But when you're reading the novel, watching the movie or the TV show, your relationship to what happens is very different. And so that can happen too. Different strokes for different folks, as they say, in terms of what happens in our stories. Continuing, I have more questions, but I'll send in another post. Thanks for your insight in advance, Linda. P.S., is there any way you can put a link on the homepage of this site to the login page? Every time I time out from this site, I have to go back to my email that has the link to this page in order to log back in, because the timeout page says I don't have access to the Q&A site, and the only link available on that message is to the main UKF homepage. It would make things a little easier to access this page since I'm going through all of the audios of the questions and answers. Thanks again. Linda, the reason I don't do that is because that main page is a public page. Pretty much any time you launch a website, Google finds out about it and puts it into its index, and I don't want to have a public page, have a login form like that. I just prefer not to do that. What I suggest you do, which is something that I do for all kinds of things, including stuff like that, is I guess you've got a PC, so I use a Mac, but I use a program on my Mac that's called Atext, A-T-E-X-T, but if you type into Google something like text expanding software or macro software or something, you should be able to find an inexpensive, easy-to-use tool that you can store things like that, whether it's temporary or it's permanent. Something you use all the time, like, you know, your address or something like that. And you can tie things to codes, you know, like, for example, if I was going to, I have in my Atext period TCE. And if I hit period TCE in the space bar, it types out true creative essence. And so you could, you know, do .qa or something and it would type out the URL. Or you could bookmark it with your browser or something. But it's a minor thing. I could do it, but I just don't like having login pages on a publicly indexed page. The login page itself, as best as I can tell, is not indexed. It's a hidden private page. So I think there are a lot of ways you can make that easier for yourself without me making that change. Sorry. Okay. That completes the Q&A and whatever for this week. Thanks to all of you who contributed wonderful questions. Thanks, as always, for the opportunity for me to play this coaching, teaching, whatever game you want to call it that I play, which I enjoy very much, including doing all of these Q&A audios. Wow, we've gone a long time on this. all of you ought to know by now that I have a tendency to be wordy. So That's why a lot of these things go long, but my bias is it's perceived as valuable and supportive. maybe that's not always the case, but that's how I see it. All right, so on that note, I'll say bye-bye for now. I'll look forward to our next form of contact, whatever shape that takes. Bye-bye.